You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh Nelson joins us for film. We've shifted him from after 5 to after 4. Josh, welcome.
It's the early bird special.
It is. You can catch his things at filmology.com. That's PH, filmology.com. Now, Josh and I have both seen Flight. It's the new Denzel Washington film. We've got a little bit from the film for you. Now, keep in mind, Denzel Washington is essentially a pilot. He saves a plane in a remarkable manner from a crash, but he is an addict, an alcohol and drug addict. He's chatting here with the lawyer who's supposedly going to be the man who will save him, played by Don Cheadle in a pretty good performance as well. So this is Don Cheadle as the lawyer, Denzel Washington as the pilot in Flight.
All right, let's cut to the chase. Just tell me what it is I need to know, Charlie.
The NTSB GO team also collects blood, hair, and skin samples. An initial report shows that you had alcohol in your system.
So that was, didn't mean anything. A couple of beers the night before the flight.
This toxicology report states that you were drunk. And if it is proven that your intoxication was the cause of the death of the four passengers, now we're going to look at 4 counts of manslaughter. That could be life in prison.
Life in prison. It's a pretty good portrait of what I would call highly functional addiction. And if you've had any unfortunate experiences with people who've got serious substance abuse problems, you know they can cover it up particularly well. But Josh will give us his verdict in a moment. Just love to know your good Denzel moments. We've all got our favourite Denzel film, 1300-222-774. If you'd like to speak with us, you can text us as well on 0437-774-774. Josh, what did you think of Flight?
This is a little bit inconsistent. I think actually just picking up on that the audio we heard, Denzel flies planes like I play pool. I think I get better the more I drink, or I think I do.
Yes. And that's the whole point of the film. Yeah. And he actually does fly better when he's totally smashed. That's what's interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's almost part of the problem with this. I mean, you've already given the spoiler away, which is not a spoiler, because if the plane had crashed, there'd be no film.
This is stuff from the beginning of the film.
This happens very early on, that he pulls off this miraculous maneuver and saves 98.9% of the people on board the flight. And I almost, in some ways, as a film about addiction, I think there would have been more at stake if, and this is going to sound quite cruel, if more people had died, because then there's a real sense of repercussion. But because his miraculous flying at the beginning is so incredible and so heroic, the film sort of backs itself into a corner with his character and doesn't really give it anywhere to maneuver in terms of the morality of what this character's gone through. So, there's never really any question about his heroism, and I think that taints anything that follows after in terms of the addiction, because we already know he's a hero, so you can't really look at him with a kind of question. There's no real grey area, I think, with this film from the get-go.
But what's interesting about it, though, I think I've got a bit of a different view. Because he manages to get through life so brilliantly, he pulls off the amazing manoeuvre, he pulls off something else later on in the film also while he's both drunk and high.
Yep.
It's actually really interesting, because addiction is addiction about choice or not. And all of these things that he manages to pull off, he actually doesn't have a say. He has no choice. So I actually thought it was quite an interesting look at addiction, because he has no choice in the matter, it seems like, with his addiction. He doesn't fit into the Alcoholics Anonymous model. He has to go somewhere else, go through another, plot arc, essentially, to sort of reach any sort of realization of what his life is like. I quite like the fact that he manages to pull all those things off.
Well, I think I struggle with the fact that he doesn't. This is not an addiction film like we've seen in other films, where it's the Nicolas Cage leaving Las Vegas, the spiraling out of control, the kind of plumbing the debts.
I'm only speaking from my experience. I know a few people who've carried off remarkable performances at work while having serious problems. The rest of their life falls apart, and that's exactly what happens with Denzel Washington. I think that's why it works. Where it doesn't work is it's a bit of a genre sampler of films, isn't it? It's sort of part thriller, part family drama, part romance. It sort of doesn't quite know what it is.
And the structure reflects that. I mean, the opening is quite nice. And, it opens basically with the sort of the hotel room, the kind of lascivious one-night stand, the coke and booze bottles lying everywhere. Then we get the amazing flight sequence, which is really well orchestrated, I thought. Even with the CGI, it's quite tense. Even though you know what's going to happen, it still holds your attention. And in that early stages, it cuts between the Denzel character and another female character who seems out of the plot. This woman who's a prostitute, a drug addict with their own sort of problems. And we get this cross-cutting. And the film seems to be leading us to suggest that it's going to be these two stories and they're going to intertwine at a certain point. And they do, but then the film sort of forgets about this female character. And then when she comes back, it's kind of clunky because then, like you said, it becomes a romance and it wants to be almost like a sex thriller, and then it's a savior film. And at the end, it becomes a kind of morality play. And I think that's where the addiction and the morality play I struggle with, because I think the film is saying this is horrific, but the performance and the script is saying something quite differently, I think.
Yeah. Look, we've got a bit of a Denzel fan here. Brian's called in on 1300 222 774 from... Oh, everyone's calling from Blackburn today. Hey, Brian.
Hi, folks.
What's your favourite Denzel film?
Well, it's got to be Fallen. F-A-L-L-E-N.
I don't recall Fallen. What was that one?
Well, it's got John Goodman, Denzel Washington, Donald Sutherland, and it's kind of a supernatural thing going on.
Ah, okay. I didn't catch that.
You have to watch it twice. I remember I watched it twice and my brother came down and I said, you've got to watch this film. And he got up halfway through it and went to bed.
Right.
I have no idea what's going on. I said, no, but you're not looking properly.
You're not, okay, you're maybe not I need to see Flight twice. I don't know.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Fallen, not only for the John Goodman connection because he appears in this film, but yeah, Fallen, I think the idea, it's been a while since I've seen it, but it's a possession, but the devil travels between bodies through touch. So we have this cop who's hunting the devil, but he doesn't know who's possessed at any one stage, which is quite a nice idea.
It was a great film.
Yeah, look, a great one. Oh, I like that, Brian. Thank you. Look, you can call 1300 222 774.
Did you think John Goodman was good in this film?
Look, John Goodman's always good. He's fantastic. I mean, one of the flaws in the film, to be honest, is that John Goodman's highly associated with the very worst drugs that Denzel Washington can take. And one of the flaws of the film is that they're glamorizing drug use, effectively.
Absolutely, yeah.
But the other thing, I really enjoyed it, and I was thinking, why am I enjoying this film so much? It's actually, for a Hollywood film, it's reasonably nuanced. It's made by the guy who made... He made Back to the Future, didn't he?
Robert Zemeckis, but he's also made... I mean, you know, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Romancing the Stone, and on the other side, Forrest Gump, What Lies Beneath, and Contact, which are pretty dour.
But, you know, it's kind of... It was fun. It was interesting. Don Cheadle's good.
Yep.
It's a reasonably nuanced look at addiction. So, no, I sort of... I got to the end, and I was like, wow, I actually really enjoyed that. So that's, you know, for a Hollywood film... I think it's pretty.
It's good. The inconsistent, like even with the Goodman character, because he's, you know, it's backed by the soundtrack from the Rolling Stones, and he's the cocaine dealer, and they play the coke use for laughs. It's very different. So on the one hand, saying, you know, alcoholism's bad and we need to get in touch with the act of God and all that religious pseudo religious stuff that comes in, but the film's equally happy to play coke addiction for laughs. Yeah. So again, these kind of it seemed like it needs some working out.
I liked it. I liked the moral quandary because it's all about choice. And
still like the double ending.
I did, yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, that last scene is awful.
Yeah, no, I really
terrible.
Liked it, actually. Oh, there you go. Look, Des was caught from Watsoni with another good Denzel film. We all love Denzel. He's just not that good in some films, that's all. Des, what's yours?
Man on Fire.
Oh, what's Man on Fire? That's another one I haven't seen.
Yeah, it's about a bodyguard. He's minding a little girl for a really rich family, and she gets kidnapped. And he sets out to get her back. So a really excellent movie,
Okay, look, thanks,
Tony Scott film from him. It's also a remake, but yeah, Denzel kind of goes off the rails in that one. It's nice.
Look, well, I always love a good Tony Scott film. Mikey in Collingwood has texted in Denzel in Glory, which, you know, you cannot go past Denzel Washington as one of the black soldiers in the Civil War. That's just incredible, in my humble opinion. Another text on 0437-774-774. Denzel is awesome in Training Day. I actually really didn't like Training Day. That's, he won the Academy Award for that one.
That was incredibly
best actor or best supporting actor?
Best actor.
Best actor it was, wasn't it? But still, someone with...
He's actually been nominated for this one. This is his sixth nomination.
Oh, did he get best actor for this one too?
Yeah, as well. Nomination. I don't think he'll win. He doesn't have a chance. But
right.
There you go.
Look, Flight's up for a couple of Oscars. We've got another film to have a chat about with Josh in a moment.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're listening to Raphael Epstein. Call now on 1300 222 774 or text 0437 774 774. You're with Raph.
Josh Nelson is with us on 774 ABC Melbourne. I do want to get onto West of Memphis, the film, but I want to name check all the fantastic Denzel suggestions. In particular, this from Marcus in Dramana. I saw Denzel playing Richard III in Shakespeare in the Park in New York in 1989, And Marcus says it was amazing. Oh, Marcus, that just wins. Someone else, quite a few of you just saying you love Don Cheadle. Yep, although we are talking about Denzel, but hey, it's pretty good watching the two of them. The Hurricane, it's the best. I don't know The Hurricane, Denzel.
Oh, the boxer called. Biopic, the one that the guy been
oh, yes.
the subject
that
of the Bob
really
Dylan
good,
song.
Wasn't it? Yeah, look, that was really good. Someone else saying, loved him in Mississippi Masala. Was he in Mississippi Masala? I don't remember that. There you go. Someone else mentioning Denzel in Much Ado About Nothing. That's where I first noticed him. What a magic smile. That was the Kenneth Branagh production. I have to admit, I really loved Much Ado About Nothing. And someone else on 0437-774-774, which is the text number, saying it's got to be Philadelphia. Yeah, I'm not so sure. I didn't love Philadelphia myself. But I did love Inside Job.
Inside Man,
which Kay in West Melbourne is suggesting is Spike Lee's best film as well. Look, when he's on, he's on. He's great. You're not such a Denzel fan, are you?
Strangely, no. There's something about I don't quite connect with him, but you know, I agree he's done some good films and some not so good films.
I know. Look, I actually and yeah, I mean, I wouldn't give him an Oscar winner for this particular film, but no, I liked it. John Goodman.
I love John Goodman. John Goodman in Argo. He should win an award for that.
Someone's saying, actually, that his role in this is very similar to his role in Argo, but I didn't see Argo.
And Big Lebowski. Anyway.
We won't go down that path. Look, tell me about West of Memphis. Actually, similar to a film you spoke about last year.
Well, yeah. So last year I talked about a trilogy of documentaries that had been released over the last 15 or so years called Paradise Lost. And they were all about this case from in West Memphis, and it's since been dubbed the case of the West Memphis three teenagers who were convicted of murdering three young children. And this was one of those cases that got notoriety because of the associations the prosecution used in terms of these were cult killings, and these were teenagers who clearly had cult fascinations and listened to heavy metal music and wore dark clothes and so on. And that's really why the HBO doco series came about. Now, it reached its conclusion last year, and this is a standalone doco. For those people who haven't seen the Paradise Lost trilogy, which I think is a really outstanding trilogy, this is probably going to be more interesting to them. Those who are fans of it are already pretty familiar with the case. There is a bit of overlap in terms of this, in terms of what's taken place. But what I think distinguishes this documentary...
It's not the same people.
No, so it's a different documentary crew. Yep. In fact, one of the points of publication for this is that Peter Jackson and Fran Walsh are producers of the documentary.
So the people who made the Lord of the Rings trilogy and the Hobbit.
And they come into it about halfway through the documentary, and we realise that they've actually been funding the appeals, some of the appeals process,
oh, really?
and so they got involved.
So why has it attracted so much attention, this case?
I think a lot of it is to do with the absolute sort of injustice. The first doco of the Paradise Lost trilogy really goes into this, you know, this complete kind of sham court system where, you know, the lawyers for the defense were completely incompetent. The basis on which these guys were convicted, the satanic associations, were clearly wrong or, you know, ludicrous. And there was this sense of the miscarriage of justice, which is why I think it got notoriety. And then the documentaries and the publicity sort of compounded
that. So three goths sent to jail for nearly 20 years, one of them on death row.
Well, yeah, one,
and a complete
two for life and one on death row. Where this documentary is interesting as a point of difference from the other ones is it focuses more on the families of the victims. And that was something that I think you could criticise the other documentaries for. It was more about the guys who were convicted. And this really sort of redirects attention to the families, what they've gone through, and starts to make some sort of associations between other family members and who actually may be responsible. Because it's pretty clear, even just on the basis of what we're seeing in these documentaries, that these guys didn't do it. Like, it's almost impossible to sort of suggest.
But they still attract a lot of public negativity. I just before you came in, I saw FedEx wanted to pull out of a conference that one of those three was going to be speaking at. So there's still clearly a feeling in corporate America that these people have tarnished reputations.
Well, I don't want to sort of go into how the documentary is resolved because it for those people who aren't familiar with the case, it sort of withholds that resolution for a time period. But the way in which it does resolve still leaves a taint. There's still a stain, and I think people don't want to be associated with it. And, you know, the fact that it isn't really resolved as well. Yeah. But the other interesting thing about this, which I think is a fascinating look at injustice in America and crimes and the appeal process, is that this is one of those cases that garnered celebrity attention. So we have not only the HBO doco, but then people like Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam, Henry Rollins, Johnny Depp, and we see them interviewed. And it's kind of fascinating to see what is it that attracts celebrities to these kinds of cases. And look, one of the guys in particular of the three convicted, Damien Eccles, who was the guy convicted to death, he's really articulate, and he's sort of, you know, almost saying, I don't think we deserve this attention. This is not an unusual case. There are hundreds of other guys in here who come from similar, real lower socioeconomic backgrounds who didn't have proper kind of defence and didn't have the appeals process, particularly in Arkansas, which is one of these sort of last bastions of injustice in terms of the evidentiary process and everything. And that's kind of fascinating because you've got one of the guys saying, look, this is not isolated, but in a sense they're lucky as well as being incredibly unlucky because they were just the case that did get the attention and had the mass appeal. And it makes the point at one point in the documentary that this was one of the first ever crowdsourced appeals process because it grew and grew and grew. So the evidence sort of grew through that. Yeah, look, this is a really worthwhile documentary. It's only playing at Cinema Nova in Carlton.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I think it's interesting as either a companion piece to the Paradise Lost trilogy or as a standalone documentary.
Okay. Look, so that is West of Memphis. It's at Cinema Nova. We will chat about Lincoln, actually, hopefully next week. We'll see if we can both get out to see that. Lincoln, we will chat. We'll see if we can get through most of the Oscar films before the dreaded prize ceremony is upon us. Josh Nelson, thank you so much for coming in.
Pleasure as always.
Josh, you can check out his film critiques at filmology.com. That's phfilmology.com.